Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Previously on What We Teach Our Children, Christian Vincenot shared his story of identifying neurodivergence in his family and how it led to creating a community of support for families raising children with ADHD and autism. If life is difficult for our fractured families within communities in developed countries, imagine what it would be like to have your country torn apart by war, leaving your family refugees. No home, no country, no community or connection. We're seeing this play out through the Middle East and Ukraine right now, but it's happened many times before. Recently, I heard a story that sounds like the plot for a Hollywood movie. A young couple, fearing for their safety, flee China for Vietnam, where they settle and start a family, only to face another war. My guest today is optometrist and author of 12 Elephants and a Dragon, Dr. Vitu Ban, who was born in Ho Chi Minh City, formerly Saigon, during the Vietnam War. His mission is to help 1 billion people. Vitu, your family's story is almost unbelievable. How did they survive?
So after the French got defeated through the 10,000 day war from 1945 to 1965, that's about 10,000 day, which is 30 years. So Ho Chi Minh led the whole northern Vietnam. And then I think the Americans had to come over after 65 or so, that's why. And then Vietnam was born, it was middle of the war. The Viet Cong trying to see if they can defeat the Americans and win it for Ho Chi Minh, because Ho Chi Minh was dying. And they got defeated pretty badly by the Americans in 1968. So the war continued, okay? Until 1975, when the Americans were defeated or whatever it was, so that's supposed to be peace. But then the communists took over. So people like us, my family, all in the book, my grandparents came from China because of war too. And then they settled because they worked hard and they built their own little, what we call textile business. So they had a store, they started selling stuff. So they went from nothing to a more like an established business entity. So by 1975, when the war was over, when it's true communism, everything belonged to the state. So everything's all equal. If you have extra dollar, you can't buy more. If you don't have enough, they take it. If they have too much, they take it from you. That kind of thing. So it's a very restricted kind of rule. And people who are entrepreneurs, like my family, want to get out. And I think at the time, I remember there was some conflict between the Chinese and the Vietnamese too. This is after the war now, okay? So anyways, a lot of people who have Chinese background want to leave because we're taking against us, especially we have businesses. So I think from 75 to 77, there were a lot of people leaving, more like sponsorship leaving. So the legally relatives in Hong Kong or Malaysia, they sponsor them. But by 78, there was no choice on people who have to escape. One of the common, but most common way was by boat. So you can imagine how chaotic it was in those days. You know, like there was a lot of people got scammed, lost a whole life fortune because so-and-so, it was all these rumors too, right? I can only imagine, just as a little kid, I hear dialogues all the time. Who can leave, who doesn't want to leave, and of course a lot of fear, right? You can imagine, because basically what we did, my parents did, was they liquidated everything they had and then turned into pieces of gold. That's the only acceptable currency in those days. And let's say if you're over a certain age, you have to pay 20, 30 pieces, whatever. So your whole life saving turned into these little pieces of gold, and hopefully you get on a boat that would take you to somewhere that's supposed to be first world or free country. And because we have a big family, I have six brothers. At the time, I have five brothers and sisters. Right now, six brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest one. You can only imagine, like my parents put us on the boat and had no idea what we're going to be. But they had this mission, you know, because I remember asking my father, so we came to Canada in 1980. This time of the year, 45 years ago, in freezing cold, okay? You can imagine, you've been to Canada, Edmonton's probably one of the coldest city in Canada. And we landed in that city without any proper clothing, t-shirts and shorts. So I asked my father in 2011, what was your final decision to get us on the boat? Because I had to know. Because for the first 20 years in Canada, I'm trying to build my career, go to school and all that, right? And you know what they told me? They went to see a fortune teller who was blind. So I said, what did he tell you? Well, he said, you know, this is your last chance to leave this place. When you go, you go as far as you can from this place. And you'll make it. But it'll be difficult because you have three dragons going with you. That's what I mean. So at the time, there were two boats. So the owner that we paid them, the ghost, who had two boats. So he said, two boats represent two dragons. You, my father, was born in the year of the dragon. And the book was released, Year of the Dragon, which is last year, 2024.
Why did you feel it was necessary to share such a personal story with the world?
It was like my calling. It's like, Wayne Dyer said this. He said, the difference between ambition and mission is this. Ambition is something you go after. So I got my career. I set a goal that did all that. Tangible stuff. Mission is something that goes after you. And it just won't leave you alone. And what's this book? So because we were the first two boats to arrive on this desert, totally deserted. Nothing there. Just beaches, beautiful, all the elements of the world, except people. And houses, nothing. I'll send you the link of this place. It was recorded by a CBC reporter back in 1979. And what you see is actually more civilized than how we arrived. So because we're the first folks to arrive, we were allowed to leave first. First come, first go. To another more civilized island where they build these barracks, where each barrack helps 100 people. 100. But at least you have roof over your head, proper shelter, proper bathroom, all that. As minimal as you get. But on the island, there's no running water, no power, nothing. No sewage, nothing. For 9 months. So when we were leaving this island, I told my father at age 11, whatever it was, one of these days I'm going to write a book about this place. And that statement never left me until this book came out. So to answer your question, it's much deeper than what the goals are. It's a mission. Because it's called Mission to Help 1 Billion People. Now this book has taken a life on its own.
What do the 12 elephants represent?
I was very fortunate. In a way, the universe is always guiding me. Before I could practice, I didn't pass my board exam. I failed. They failed. My class of 60 people, only 18 people failed. First time ever. 30%. So I go, okay, instead of fighting, I mean, what else am I supposed to learn? So I start getting involved with personal growth stuff that they didn't teach us in school. The real life street. So I learned a book called Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich is probably the most profound Bible for success on this planet. So one of the principles says, mastermind group. So I was traveling in Africa. So you've been to Africa, Botswana? It was a beautiful trip. It was like, we were on this moving camp because every night you go to different camps to see different wildlife. And every time I came back to the tent or this campsite, at the gift shop, there was 12 little elephants. And he goes, like, take me. I said, I got it. I'm going to play Jesus. I'm going to find 12 people who are like-minded and do the work. So I started giving out 12 elephants to 12 people that I knew. And that's where the 12 elephants came up. The dragon was different. The dragon was 2020. Because I've been thinking about this, just never had time to put it down, right? 2020, to a mutual friend, I met the writer, Marie, right here, on Zoom. All done on Zoom. And I told her a story. The next morning, she wrote me a whole pager, which she'd never done before, she said. She said, a little boy had turned into a dragon and we fired the story. I said, Marie, you're hired. That's what happened. So 2020 until 2024 is published. The mission to help 1 billion people.
Once you identified you had this mission to help 1 billion people, how did you know what steps to take in relation to fulfilling that?
That's a very good question. So I knew the book has to be out. I just knew it. But remember, it's not about physically helping people. It's emotional. To write this book, I basically had lifetime of therapy. All the emotional stuff, guilt, shame, regrets, anger, hatred, frustration. The book called Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, he actually measured the human consciousness in terms of frequency. So the highest frequency is love, enlightenment, kindness, forgiveness. And the people who help us from experts vibrate in that energy. It took me that long because I spent 10, 15 years of my initially blaming, anger. Why me? Why am I doing this? Why can't I go play with the kids? Why do I have to buy a house as a teenager? But then even my name, okay, with the name of V2, guess what movie came out in 1980, 81, 82? Star Wars. And who was in Star Wars? One of the famous characters was R2-D2. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Whenever I mention my name, they go, are you R2 or are you D2? Not just about, I thought people making fun of me, right? Then I go, wait a second. 90% of these kids were curious. They weren't making fun of me. So I turn it around. So instead of why me, why not me now? I still haven't met a person named V2 yet on this planet of 8 billion people. So I'm unique. I should be proud of myself. So change your thoughts, change your life. It's funny, I was talking to a lawyer earlier today, because V2, you know, this world is so terrible. Nora rises everywhere. I said, it doesn't bother me. You have choices, choice to pick. The emotion that doesn't have nothing against me, I'm not there anymore. Not being arrogant. Wayne Dyer said the same thing. When he got famous, you should look him up. He wrote a lot of books. And people that the interview people, the journals like, oh, you're rich. Of course you can say all you want. People are dying all around the world, starving, and you don't even care. He goes, well, wait a second. I cannot feel bad enough for you to feel better. In other words, when you pray good vibration, other people get better. You pray terrible vibration, you will attract the same thing. It's all energy. Same thing with this book. So when this book was released in November, I've transcended all of that. Am I a Buddha? Not yet. There's only one Buddha on this planet. I said one Buddha. But I did something really profound last year. It's called Vipassana. It's a 10-day silent retreat. No eye contact, no talking, nothing for 10 days. You're by yourself. And it's like prepare yourself to die without dying. And I did that for this book. And it took me 10 days to pass that course. And I realized now the book is out. This is the next step. How do you fill all the negative source with positive source to neutralize all this stuff? And the fact you're calling me is that reason, because this is the mission. If you look deeper, you know, you heard of the book, The six Degrees of Separation. By default, if you help 1 billion, you're helping the whole world. That ripple effect will keep vibrating.
Through your learnings and through your energy that you're sending out to help 1 billion people, how did that impact you as a parent? And what do you think you've shared with your children that they will take forward?
I think the method, like I said, the message to teach people how to fish. Give them the skills, not the tangible stuff. I have two step children who are on the dragons too. They're both, actually one of them, my daughter's an optometrist, she's working in my office. And my other son is the dentist. When I met Mamie, they were already on their way to university. So I already missed their first teenage life. But I'm here for support, you know? I mean, to me now, the world is my children. And wherever I get a chance to spread the message, and again, Mr. Murphy taught me, you don't give people to stuff, you teach them how to fish. And that theme rings bell for me a lot. And for me, the book is about transcending all the negative emotion, and you have to transcend it. You can't hide. You can't fight it either. You see, you have to surpass the limits, and it wasn't easy. Trust me, it was really difficult, and I had a lot of help. I had a lot of help.
Where did you find help like that to help you transcend and transform?
It's almost like the universe said, when the time is right, the person shows up. In Zen, they go, when a student is ready, a teacher will appear. It's very true. You heard the story of the two canoes and a helicopter. So a priest in southern U.S., rain is coming, flood is coming, but the priest said, I'm not leaving because God's going to save me. So, of course, the water kept rising. The first canoe set came. Father, let's go. You're going to drown. No, I'm good. God's going to save me. You guys go. The water kept rising. Second canoe came. I'm not leaving. God's going to save me. You guys go. Now it's on the tube. It's on top of the roof. Water's way above now. Helicopter's here. Go. I'm good. God's going to save me. Of course, he drowned. Now he's up in heavens, talking to St. Peter's. He said, you're supposed to save me. St. Peter looked at him. He goes, you idiot. We sent you two canoes and a helicopter. Where were you? The point is blind faith, right? Sleepwalking. Literally sleepwalking. Well, these signs could be a little whisper. Like to me, the Cho elephant was a whisper, but I pay attention to it. Pay attention for me is about being inspired. What does being inspired mean? To be in spirit. When you're in spirit, remember the Bible says, I'm not a religious person. A lot of scripture stuff is true. With God, all things are possible. That depends on your definition of God. Is it your spirit? Is it outside of you? Is it inside of you? I truly believe it's inside of me. It's all part of it.
Even if you look at the scriptures being created by, through, for, that is, yeah, it definitely an internal thing, but we seem to exalt it and put it outside of ourselves.
That's what I said to you, the first 10 years, I kept blaming me. I said, like, why is it me? Why can't I be like other kids doing all the other stuff? Why should my name have to be V2? Why can't it be Victor or Paul or something more acceptable, right? But then I go, wait a second, it's all in here. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it's the way we actually react instead of respond to a situation where we can make up our mind and choose to be happy about something as opposed to offended. Yeah.
But Jesus said that. Jesus said, whatever I can do, you can do better. The only difference is I believe it and you don't believe it. He said it many times. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will open. But how many of us actually do that?
Exactly. But how much do you think religions and, you know, the polarization of religion has affected people in relation to making choices like that? Because it's so confusing.
I would say 95%. 95%. You heard of Joe Dispenza? So he talks about our unconscious mind is 95%. Only 5% is consciousness here. And if we don't tap into that, we live in someone's life. The programs reprogram you, we program you. And what happens is, okay, let's say you have trauma in the past, okay? And you're still feeling that trauma. The brain sends a message to the body and the body breaks down. Now you're reliving the trauma as if it's already here. But if you don't change my, like I said, my name thing, if I didn't switch, I was still living in there. Oh, wow, people making fun of me, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens is, see, since the book was released, I lost 15 pounds. Little 15 pounds gone. I couldn't button this shirt before, it was so big. And I try everything. That's the emotional trauma that was hanging on. Crazy, right? See, before 10 years ago, I ran 6 marathons. That's how I kept my weight off. We call it qi running. So qi running is a technique of running where you run with your core, so injury-free and energy efficiency. But you can't run forever. But now, since the book's released, I've had a new calling. I got to stay physically healthy to do this 1 billion thing. It's a new mission. That's why you want to talk to me from Australia, I'm here. It's not about the money. But the money comes in a different form. Money is just an energy. So I was very fortunate. So I was born in Vietnam because my grandfather had an entrepreneurial mind. So he had two stores, main store where we live. So there's a big place called Ben 10. It's like a supermarket. You go there, anything you want is there. Clothing, food, like everything's in that supermarket. So he had a little store there. And I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, right? Before we left, before the communist was over. I mean, the war was over, we had a little store. So I would go there and work with my aunt to look after the store. So I was very fortunate. I was exposed to abundance every day. Basically, money for me, for them is like people say money is an evil. That's another brain thing, right? So I was exposed to this. So for me, it was like, this is part of my life. There was no cash register, nothing like that. It was a money box. People, your job is make sure there's more money at the end of the day than you came in the morning. But make sure it be true. Everything you do has to make sure that you don't cheat. You do the right thing. because of karma, they'll come back. And that was my exposure to business, to whatever. And for me, it's part of my life. And I have no negative concept. People say selling is evil. For me, it's about if I'm doing the right thing and fair thing, everybody's good.
Dr. V2, you are the master. I am the student today, and I am so grateful.
Thank you.
Optometrist and author Dr. V2 Bahn, who was embraced by the Canadian community as a boy and found his tribe. His book, 12 Elephants and a Dragon, is available now online, and all proceeds will be donated as per his mission to help 1 billion people. You'll find all the details and connection points with Dr. V2 Bahn in the show notes, where you'll also find links to my website, socials, and contact details. This podcast is recorded in Launchpad Studios thanks to Greater Whitsunday Innovation, formerly Split Spaces.